All right, we're gonna do this a little different today. Pastor Daniel's not around, so I can technically do whatever I want. Oh, I will. The file will somehow get corrupted. I don't know. But I thought it would be interesting to talk about what a day in the life of working at a mission organization would look like, right? When you guys think mission or missionary, what words come to mind? Overseas, traveling, what else? Sacrifice. Oh, that's a deep one. Loneliness. Poor. Man, you guys are painting a really sad picture of what being on mission is like. Although there are truth to some of that part. Why don't you guys guess what I do in a mission organization? Take a shot. Except Aiden, like he can't answer this one. Actually, I don't know. He probably doesn't know what I do. Yeah, he has no clue. Take a guess. What does Pastor Carter do at a mission organization? What is his job? Where's the sacrifice word? The travel, the poor. I didn't hear any of those. What does he do? Take a shot. There's no wrong answers here. Train missionaries? Something with training? Perhaps. What else? IT stuff. Who here thinks John is right? IT stuff. No one. Sorry. Sorry, John. IT is not spiritual. Okay? If you want to work for a mission organization, IT doesn't cut it. Any other guesses? One more guess, then we'll move on. Pray. Professional prayer. Professional prayer. It's a good Sunday school answer, right? You can't go wrong with that one. There is some of that. On Wednesday chapel, we are all asked to go to chapel to pray. And I'll actually touch on the prayer part a little bit after this, but actually, John is right. I do IT stuff. I do IT stuff in International Mission Board. You know, I was kind of hammering John about like IT doesn't fit in there. What I hope to do today is to challenge how you view mission. Okay, when we think mission, we're like, yeah, some missionary living in a hut somewhere on the dirt floor, have no money to pay for food, is poor, is self-sacrificing. And those could be true, right? There are missionaries like that. But there are also the people behind the scenes supporting the missionary, right? When the missionary go aboard, who are the ones handling the logistics? When the missionary goes abroad, who are the ones helping them with their kids' education, right? When they go abroad and they're having gospel conversations with people, what app are they using? When they are being chased by the government who's unfriendly to the gospel, what security things do they use? So there's a lot that goes into the very simplistic, yeah, I just go somewhere and I tell someone the gospel and that's missionary. That is most fundamentally accurate. I mean, that's how Lottie Moon did it, right? Lottie Moon is the missionary that was sent out from this church, First Baptist. She's like the face of the Southern Baptist Convention of the IMB. That's how she did it. She literally sat on dirt floors. She had no apps where she could like go order stuff off Amazon, right? But today's missionary world is different. In fact, technology plays a very important part in the missionary experience, not just for the person going out to be the missionary, but also the person who's hearing the gospel message from the missionaries. So that's what I do in the IMB, very geeky, kind of sad. It's not something more like sparkly. But hopefully, as I talk through some of the things that I do there, it'll inspire you guys to think like, man, if I'm not called to be a pastor and I'm not called to be a missionary, then I can't really do a ton of things for God. Like, God can't use me in great ways. I want you to know that that kind of thinking is wrong. God uses us in all our contexts. And what I would like you to see here today is that God will use the careers that you have chosen. My background is in electrical engineering. I did a lot of software development as my senior year project in Mississippi State University. I went to Capital One to be a software engineer. And 11 years later, I resigned, started at IMB while I was doing seminary. And in IMB, I was doing IT project management. Yeah, IT project management, maintaining their intranet. So it's super not cool to think about it, but it's like, it's important stuff, right? After I graduated from seminary, I became a pastor for a couple years. Now I'm still a pastor, but also back at the IMB in a very different role. And the role that I'm in right now, I get to see globally how God is working. And so that's pretty cool, but still from a very techie perspective. Do we have any techie people here? Techie degrees, tech? No? You're ashamed to say you're in tech? Do we have any like medical related fields here? Yeah, we got a couple. So all of that could be used for mission work. What other degrees do you guys have that I haven't talked about yet? All considering. No, you guys are just in IT or medicine. Man, you're like the worst stereotypical Asian crowd. Any lawyers here? Lawyers or engineers? That's like the other one I haven't mentioned. Yeah? See? Wow, you guys are very, very stereotyped. Asians. No liberal arts degree here? No? All right, see. Sarah? Architecture is not liberal arts. It's a respectable professional degree, John. It's very respectable. Okay, so what is IMB? Can someone tell me what it stands for? Other than those who know it. International Mission Board, yes. So that's the organization that I work in. If you are part of a Baptist church, there's about 50,000 Baptist churches that collaborate, right? And so they form the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's the denomination that this church is part of. And the mission sending agency of the SBC is the International Mission Board. So the IMB covers everything that's not North and that's not America or North America, so Canada. So everything else other than America and Canada, okay? So that's the IMB coverage. Today in IMB, there's still about 60% of the world that is unreached, meaning they do not know Jesus. That is almost 5 billion people. And so if you look at why IMB exists, it's to address this problem, right? The world's greatest problem is lostness. I mean, you don't have to go to the ends of the earth to find lostness. I mean, on your campus ground, UVA, there's a lot of folks who have not heard about Jesus. And so for you guys, the challenge is start local, start with your friends and families, help them see the hope that you have in Christ. Help them see the changes that your life have been going through now that you are a child of God. And so I would really challenge you to think locally first. And as God calls you to go to international mission, come talk to me. John grew up overseas. His dad and mom were overseas missionaries in Budapest. And so it's both exciting but also very scary because, like Aiden said, you know, there's a lot of loneliness as well because you're going into a foreign place. You don't speak the language. You don't know the culture. You're trying to talk to people you can't have a conversation with. There's not many other people there that shares your same belief. And so there is that as well. In 2021, this has actually gone up quite a lot in 2 years. But back then, it was about 3,600 missionaries. So IMB supports all those missionaries, right? Those traditional ones that you're thinking about, when someone says, I'm a missionary, you're like, okay, I'm thinking about someone in Africa in a hut working with, you know, the Africans, or someone in South Asia working with the Indians. Like, that's kind of what we think about when we think about missionaries. These are the guys. Right now, it's around 4,000. They've, through the work of IMB, they've established 20-some thousand new churches, 100,000 baptisms. So we can go through all those numbers, but I want to show you that there's a lot of good work that's going through IMB. And these are frontline missionaries, right? But for them to do their work, there's also back-end professional staff that's doing those things to enable this. So what I want to show you this morning is my walk. When I walk from the parking lot to my cubicle. Because then you'll get to see like what I see every day. So as I'm walking through the parking lot, you know, this is the lobby. This is the headquarters of IMB is in Richmond, Virginia, which is where I live. It's in downtown Richmond. So driving down from my house to the city really sucks because traffic is really bad. But they're located like smack in the middle of the city. But that's the lobby. So I walk in. You guys notice this globe here? It's water. Have y'all seen this? It's like a water that comes out and then the globe is spinning. Y'all ever seen that in like some other places? But it's really cool. So I walk in and it says here, go make disciples of all nations. And so it's spinning around and you get to see like different countries and different continents as you're walking into the building. It reminds you of why you work there, right? It reminds you that as children of God, regardless of whether you are a professional missionary or not, your purpose is to go make disciples, right? Every single one of us. We got no excuses. We have to tell people about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Not because we have to, but because we've experienced him in such a deep way that we want those who we care about hear the goodness of Jesus, right? So that's my walk. Okay, nothing too exciting here. There is a police car there all the time. It's kind of scary, honestly. When I first started working there, there were like no security. And then some stuff happened in the world. A lot of unfriendliness towards Christians and Christian organizations. And so now there's like a cop car there all the time. And everything is kind of sealed in. It's kind of crazy. But security in the building now is pretty tight. So this is the lobby. When I walk through the front door, the first thing I see like right in front of me is the vision of the IMB. It says, a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, knowing and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 7, 9 to 10. So this is the awesome imagery that we should all be like imagining in our head, right? So when Christ comes again and this broken creation is restored into the new heaven and new earth, and God is now with us and we're hanging out with Jesus, right? This is what we see. It's just everyone who calls God Lord and Savior, they're just worshiping and they're hanging out with God. They're experiencing his goodness. There's no more sorrow or shame or loneliness or any of that. And so that's what we look forward to. And that's why, like, when I walk through the lobby, I'm always thinking about, well, that's the picture that I love to see. Who else do I know that may not be there, right? And so we think about our family members who aren't Christian, and we're like, man, it would really suck if we were there and they are not. And so how can we pray for them? How can we share the good news with them? And so every day I'm thinking about this. I'm also thinking about the missionaries that are out in the field, and I'll get into some of those stories later of some of the things that they celebrate and also some of the things that they're really struggling with. My first stop always is coffee. Honestly, by this time, I've already had 3 cups of coffee. I have like 2 cups in the morning and then 1 cup on my drive there, and this is like my 4th cup. And you will see the mission there again to serve Southern Baptist in carrying out the Great Commission to make disciples. So that's the SBC one. And everywhere you'll see pictures, like pictures everywhere of just the various missionaries that are on the field, and they're taking all these like award-winning photographs. It's all over the building. And you know, when you look at this man, you're thinking, you know, how can I go to that country to speak to his people so that they would know Christ? But coffee first. Then I walk up the stairs. I'm on the second floor. Can anyone tell me what picture that is? A stadium? It kind of looks like it, but it's not. Can you guys tell? Like, look at the people. Look at what they're wearing. That might give you a guess for where, who they are. Who? What kind of people groups do they look like? Huh? What kind of temple? Hindu, yes. Who said that? You did? Yes, it is a Hindu temple. If you can get the country right, you are a superstar. It is not India. But it would be the logical guess. What other Asian countries have? Southeast Asia somewhere, you are accurate. Thailand, very close. You're just going to go down the list, aren't you? Malaysia, yes. I'm from Malaysia. This is in Malaysia. This is near the capital, Kuala Lumpur. It's called Batu Caves. Batu just means stone, so it's like a stone cave. And like you have to go up, and I've been there once or twice. You have to go up like a couple hundred stairs to get to the top of the cave. And in there, it's just these like massive, amazing looking statues of like Indian gods. And during this time, like every year or so, they have this huge festival where they gather, they worship. And so this is one of the picture, right, of a group of people that are so faithful in worshiping, but they're worshiping the wrong God, right? So our purpose is to tell them about Jesus. You know, scripture tells us that we all worship something. Now that creation is broken, we worship people, we worship things, we worship anything under the sun except God, right? So that's the problem of lostness. And so how do we go and tell people about God, Jesus Christ, and not all the other gods that people are worshiping that isn't God? So everywhere I go, I see pictures like that. And this is my cube! Yay! Any comments, like observations? I'm curious. What observations do you have? Huh?
No
photos.
No of your family.
Of my family. John, this is what phone is for. I have pictures of my beautiful family on my phone here. But yes, you are accurate. The first thing people notice are like, where's pictures of your family, man? Like, why? Why do I need pictures of my family? I see them all the time. But yeah, everyone's like, Carter, you don't look like a very warm person. What other observations do you have here? Coffee, yes, coffee! It's probably my fifth cup of the day there. There's Jesus up here. It says, I can, but I see that. I saw that. So he's always watching over me. Make sure I'm doing my work right. But yeah, this right here, this is the chart of business people that I support from a technology perspective. So I'll talk about them a little bit more. Any other observations about my cube? Positive one, perhaps? Oh, this one, yeah, I don't even know what the name is. It's called ZZ Planet. It's very hard to die. Like it. Yes. So that's my cubicle. So back to the question, every day I'm walking into the building, I'm reminded of lostness, right? Working in a international mission board. So what does my typical day look like? The first part is global mobilization. So when we think missionaries being sent overseas, this is what we think about. My role in technology, I'm actually not a very technical guy. Like I could probably code, but I am very rusty. I could probably do some CS project stuff, but I'll get like C+ or something. The thing that I do is I straddle the world between technology, and global missionary mobilization. What does that mean? It means we have our senior executives who are thinking about how to mobilize people on a worldwide scale, right? So they're thinking, okay, when we send people to Southeast Asia, where do we send them? How many do we send? Why do we send them there? What kind of lostness are in Southeast Asia that's different from Africa? And so these executives, they're making decisions on missionary deployment. So for example, if they want to deploy to, Southeast Asia in the Batu Caves, right, with the Indians. So they might say, well, what kind of technology do we need to engage with them? And so I become the bridge to say, well, these are the different technologies that we can use to help assist the missionaries as they're engaging with the Indians in Malaysia. So my role is to represent the entire technology department and say, these are all the tools that you have at your disposal to use in these countries. If you don't have anything you can use, then my job is to go find a tech team that can build something custom for them and then continue to support them through the life cycle of that product. Yeah. You guys are like, oh, that's IT stuff. Okay, here's another way to look at it. I'll tell you stories. The way IMB looks at the world is there's all these different affinities, right? So you got Americas, Asia Pacific, Central Asia, okay, all these different places. So let me give you.
What area is deaf people?
Oh, deaf is actually all. Deaf people are like all over. They are a affin. Okay, so don't think about affinities as in like a geographical location. So Asia Pacific, Asians, where can you find Asians? Is it only in China? Only in Taiwan? No, I'm Asian, right? I came from Malaysia. You guys are Asian. You live in Charlottesville. So Asians are everywhere. The affinity Asian Pacific Rim is somewhat tied to the location, but their goal is also to engage Asians all over the world. There's a term for this. It's called Asian diasporas, which means, I actually don't know what diaspora means. It just means Asians who are not living in Asian countries. It's kind of what it means. So I'll give you an example. Sub-Sahara Africa people. This continent, their people are very young. They tend to be in like their 30s, 20, 30s, maybe in 40s. Do you want to take a guess? What is one of their favorite pastimes? Of young Africans in their 30s. Soccer. What else? Good guess. No guess. You're like, I have no clue what 30-year-old African people are into. Is that kind of what you guys are thinking? Mobile gaming. You will be shocked. Okay, who knows what game that is? Yes. I was on it this morning before I came, by the way. And I am a level 14 townhouse. But yes, you will be shocked at how many young Africans are into mobile gaming. The potential there to engage them with the gospel is amazing. You know, it's probably not a surprise Aiden is a gamer. When he was still living with us, I think this was in high school, he got like gifts and I was like, who is this from? He said, my friend. And I said, which friend? From school? He said, no. And I don't know if he remembers this, but he's like, it's one of my online friends. And I'm like, have you ever met this online friend? And he said, no, not in person, right? I was like, what in the world? So it blew my mind that online relationships can be that close, but you never meet, but yet you're always having that online community. So one of the strategies for IMB working with the sub-Saharan African people is we recognize the potential of online gaming communities within the Africa continent. And so how can we engage that, right? We have missionaries that are on the grounds doing mission work, but you also need gaming missionaries, right? So if, for you guys gamers out there, you're like, oh, I can be a missionary as a gamer? Yes, you can. So this team in particular, they work with Christian gaming influencers. Can you ever picture those words coming together? Christian gaming influencers. There are those people out there. And what they do is as they game, they're engaging with people in gospel conversations. And so IMB, recognizing this potential, is building gaming platforms and gaming softwares to go into sub-Saharan gaming communities. And as you're gaming with them, you're initiating spiritual conversations. Okay. So that's one way. Sarah's probably like, what? Right. Cause she is a campus on the ground. She's working one-on-one with people, like physical people, but gaming is the virtual world. We're also looking at metaverse, you know, those other sort of virtual reality things. And we need people, who understands technology, who are gamers, who can build games, who understands the platform, who knows how to engage with people in this culture for the sake of the gospel, right? So that's one way that IMB's, that technology goes hand in hand with the gospel. Okay, European people, what big event happened in Europe in the last year or so?
COVID.
Bicycling? Ukraine, yes. Ukraine and Russia war. Okay. It's a big one. It's a world event. So how did IMB engage with folks like that? Through technology. So with the recent Russian invasion of Ukraine, you know, there are a lot of people that were displaced, right? They had to leave the country. They spilled into Poland. And so we use a lot of technology, primarily in the social media engagement world. Okay, who here is on social media? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, something's wrong with you. But social media is how we had social media folks in our marketing team that were engaging with people when this war broke out. And so they created a lot of ads that says, pray for Ukraine, right? So that's where prayer comes in. And so folks that click say, yes, I want to pray for Ukraine, they get sent to a website where they can choose to say, yes, I want to pray for them. Yes, I want to pray with someone, a missionary that's on the ground in this place that I'm at. And so now you start seeing how technology is being used to mobilize people, to connect missionaries, to connect organizations, to even be part of world history, right? This is a war going on. It's not great, but God is also working there. And so how can people that are in medical, right, sending medical missions there, technologists who are doing social media to get people to pray and to give and to connect people on the ground, these are all things that are going on in IMB right now. So the second part that I want to quickly breeze over is around mobilization of U.S. churches. So where do these missionaries at the IMB come from? Who sends them? It's you guys, churches, GFCC, First Baptist, Charlottesville, GCBCR. Like the churches are the ones that are sending people to IMB to be missionaries, right? The churches are the ones that are giving. The churches are the ones that are praying. The churches are the ones that are doing mission work locally. And so another big part of IMB is just working with the US-based churches. So what would that look like from a technology perspective? If you go to the IMB website, there's all these things here. Every single link that you go in is technology, right? So just give you an example. Attend equipping and training events. So this is related to those that raise their hand for medical and healthcare. Take a guess. How many percentage of missionaries that are on the field right now have a medical background or are doing some sort of medical mission in the field? Let's take a wild guess. How many percentage? 10? 10%. You are exactly right. It is 10%. Whoa. 10% of missionaries are some healthcare related things. Okay, so when you guys graduate to be healthcare professionals, one of the career opportunities is if you're like, well, I don't want to go to a hospital to work for the government. I don't want to go into private practice. I want to go and be sent into the world to use my medical degree to help other people for the sake of the gospel. You can do that. And so these are some of the missionaries that go out there. Where my background comes in is I work with them. So the healthcare team has to go out and they interact with medical organizations, right? So they have to figure out ways to interact and capture that and continue to engage. So my work then is to build a platform for engaging these various organizations. Okay, this other one is really cool. What is next month? Do you guys know? Yes. Who here did not know that the month of May is AAPI month? Asian American Pacific Island. You guys did not know that? And you're Asians. And you live in America. So May is AAPI month, okay? Anything and everything Asian American related. Just pay attention to your social media in the month of May. You see a ton of stuff AAPI related. I'm thinking in UVA, there might be a lot of that as well. I don't know. But one of the things that I'm part of the group in IMB is, we call them One in Christ, but it's really to celebrate the diversity that we have in the IMB. So I kind of represent the Asian Americans, right? And for the last 3 years, I've been working in IMB with our marketing team to develop videos, articles, things that highlight Asian American missionaries, things that highlight Asian American churches, things that highlight like an Asian guy that went to New Guinea back in the 1800s, you know, like historical mission work. And so although I am a technologist, but God also used me in this organization to advocate for Asian Americans, right? So if you guys go to IMB and look up Asian Americans, you'll see a lot of these things. This girl, she's third generation Asian American missionary. Like her parents were also IMB missionaries and their parents were IMB missionaries. So that's really cool, right? I get to meet folks like that. Okay, so how can you learn to be more involved with mission? So you got your freebie, your merch. Anyone didn't get it, raise your hand, we'll give it to you. But here's what I hope you will use it for. Use the gift that NAM is North American Mission Board. It is the group that does mission work in America and Canada, okay? So we're like sister organization. So use it. Bring it to you, with you in the cafeteria, whatever. As your friends see this, they're like, oh, new churches, what is that? That's a cool marriage. Tell me about it. So you're like, well, let me tell you about Jesus, right? So use it as a conversational starter. Or at a bare minimum, use it every day as a reminder for yourself of the lostness of the world. And then pray and say, God, how would you use me? God, my degree right now is in biochem. God, like, how would this work? How can I use this for mission work? My degree right now is in CS. Lord, how would you use me to build Christian games when I graduate? So be asking those questions, right? You're studying a certain degree for a reason. When I went into engineering and that did CS stuff, I had no clue God was going to use me and those skills for mission. Like, no clue. But now he is. And so I would challenge you to think, all the things that you're studying in school right now, how would God use that in the future to use you? Those are exciting thoughts, right? Because I didn't know God was going to use me this way. And it blows my mind every day that this is how God uses my IT skills in an international mission organization. Okay, the last one I want to show you is you have handouts. There are different ways you can actually participate in IMB. There's internships. If you do not have a summer internship just yet, go apply, okay? Look, there's analytical internship, HR, project, fundraising research, social media designer, user experience designer, marketing coordinator, all kinds of internships at IMD. So if you're interested in those and it relates to where you're studying in school, go apply for it. And for those who are analytical geeks, you can apply for the data analyst internship. If you, your small group, your campus ministry, or your church hasn't done any sort of trips with the IMB, go tell your pastor or leader. Say, hey, can you look at some of the trips that IMB has, and can we sign up to go? If you are about to graduate and you're looking for a job, there are plenty of jobs in the IMB. Right? Look at this. This is a lawyer, a general counsel, business analyst. You got staff training. I think someone said I was doing like training stuff. Was it Sarah? If you like doing like this one, instructional technology specialist, like there's all kinds of jobs here, right? Don't limit yourself when you think mission is just pastor or missionary. Okay. There's all these ways you can be involved in mission work and still make a career out of it. And finally, you know, if your calling is to just straight up be a field missionary, then you can always go through IMB and be one. So hopefully I gave you and challenged you to think differently about how you can be used for mission in the context that you're in the degree that you're studying, and maybe as you're thinking about, you know, your future careers, where that might go. And so there are things like these of how God could use you. Okay? All right, we have like 3 minutes before we end. Any questions? That was a lot of information, but hopefully it challenged you. Questions? And don't ask me questions about Clash of Clans.
What's your opinion on just going and moving to a foreign country and just working there with a community job, or just doing ministry on the side?
Yeah. There's actually a term for it. It's called business as mission, BAM. And IMB actually has that. I didn't touch on it. But a lot of folks who say, you know, I don't want to, like, missionary isn't my full-time job. I want to use a platform. Like, I want to go open a Korean bakery store, you know, in Korea. Can I use that as my business to go there and move to that country and then use that business to support my life there? A lot of folks open up their business. They have like church meetings in their bakery stores, or they have like small groups meet there and kind of use that, right? Is that kind of what you're thinking? There's a lot of that going on, especially in close countries where the government is not friendly towards Christians. You have to do something like that. In fact, a lot of government, like if you want, for example, I had a friend who went to Myanmar. Myanmar is in a lot of like civil war right now. He couldn't go in as a missionary, but the Myanmar government said, hey, if you came and opened a business and you invest $25,000 and you bring that to us, we will give you a visa. And so they raised $25,000 as missionaries. They went, they opened it's like a Kumon. It's like a tutoring center. Okay. They opened a Kumon in Myanmar, and that's how they used that facility, to share the gospel with the students. So that is another route to go. Business as mission. So for you Kumon advocates out there, or Kumon alumni, you know, you can use that as an opportunity. Just curious, anyone here went to Kumon? Oh, what? It had to be you. Any other questions?